First of all, he said, with wry humor, the Romans made a great desert and called it peace. Second, he observed that the unspoken secret of the Principate was that the army could make or unmake an emperor. So he saw that there was this dangerous element there with the military, and he saw that Rome's vast empire was not something, after all, that all of those peoples, from the north of Britain to Mesopotamia, from the North Sea to North Africa, had asked for. Old Attalus of Pergamum might have willed his kingdom to Rome, but nobody wrote to the Romans and said, if you have some time next week, could you please come and conquer us? The Romans marched forward. Always, remember we talked about their notion of defensive imperialism? They had the idea that they could only fight just wars, that they could only fight if they had been attacked or affronted in some way. So the Romans always contrived to describe every one of their wars as a war in defense of themselves. Somebody had threatened them, and then they went forward and conquered them. Well, Tacitus understood the reality of the situation. Still, at the very heart of this regime, there was a partnership between the emperors and the senatorial elite, which worked very well. Now, let's emphasize there. It was slowly but surely in the last years of the first century BC and across the first century AD, a new senatorial elite that had to be constituted. It was made up not so much of the old traditional Roman families as indeed of men who came from other parts of Italy, and indeed slowly but surely of men who came from other parts of the Roman Empire as well. Senators did not try to seize the imperial office or to restore the Republic. When, for example, one or another of the Julio-Claudian, or even the one Flavian emperor who was killed, Domitian, when these men met their end, senators didn't try to replace them. They didn't try to put themselves in their place. They didn't try to recreate, to resurrect the Roman Republic. You remember when the senators killed Julius Caesar in 44 B.C.? We asked, when we were discussing that, what did they have in mind? What did they think was going to happen? And it seems that some of them perhaps were just blindly jealous of Julius Caesar. Others, however, seem somewhat naively to have supposed that Caesar was the problem. Absent Caesar, the Republic would come back and all would be well. Well, by the time we move into the first century, people understood perfectly well that the Roman Republic, though much to be admired and written about, was gone. So the senators had enough sense to share power with the emperors in this regime that we call the Augustan Principate. Now, if Rome's peace had been imposed by force on people who had not asked for it, and surely that's the situation. We must always bear that in mind. And a little bit later, in later lectures, when we start to talk about the unraveling of the Roman Empire, we have to remember that we're not so much dealing with usurpation or rebellion or people being disloyal to the Romans. These people had, after all, been conquered by the Romans. So in a certain sense, local autonomy, local interests, and so on, rose to the surface once again. But that's a story for a later day. For now, I want simply to say that even if Rome had imposed its will on these peoples around the Mediterranean world, the fact is Rome brought considerable benefits. First, an enormous free trade zone, which promoted trade, which promoted a lack of local disturbances, this peace imposed by the Romans, made trade possible, it made agriculture flourish. You may just recall that quite a few lectures back, we noticed that the Persians had done the same thing. In their very large empire, remember the Persians built roads, and the Persians created a post office, and the Persians created unified system of weights and measures, and unified systems of coinage, and thus promoted trade through a world which, previous to the Persians, had been a sort of a crazy quilt of peoples. In a very real way, the Pax Romana repeated that kind of situation. It created a world where economic opportunity existed in ways that had not been true before. Provincials were accorded a measure of protection, particularly those who lived along the frontiers of the Roman world. People who lived along the frontiers of the Roman world had always been subject to, victims of, cross-border depredations by various peoples who lived outside the Roman world. Rome now protected those people, protected their lands, protected their territories. Rome assumed the burden of defending this vast empire. Again, in a later lecture, we'll have to ask questions about whether Rome assumed a burden simply too large to have been carried with grace and success over the long haul.